So go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. Now, most of you probably know at least about the famous words of Neil Armstrong from Apollo 11 when he stepped onto the surface of the moon and he said, "That's one small step for man and that's one giant leap for mankind." But you may not know the words of Buzz Aldrin from that same mission. Aldrin had brought with him a small communion kit that his church had given him. By the way, if any of you end up becoming an astronaut, we'll give you a small communion kit for you to take with you up to space, free of charge. That's our gift for you as you go up there. But at dinner, Aldrin sent a message to Earth that was being broadcast by radio to everyone. And he told them to think about the events of today and to give thanks. But then, with the radio broadcast turned off for privacy, Aldrin then read these words. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And it's these words, among some of the other ones in the verses, that we're going to be looking at today. And we're in a series titled Real Faith. And we've been looking at different attributes of what it looks like to have real faith in Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be looking at the next attribute, which is that real faith seeks to abide with Christ. And our main passage comes from John chapter 15. And before going any further, I'm going to read the entire passage from John chapter 15. Now, in some traditions, everyone stands for the reading of the main passage. And so I know you just got comfortable. Some of you just got your kids out the door. But I'm going to go ahead. We're going to mix things up today. We don't do this every day, all the time. But I'm going to ask you all to please stand if you are able for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So this is the word of God. You may be seated. So John chapter 15 is part of the farewell discourse. Jesus knows that his time on earth is coming to an end, and he's giving what would be considered more like a last minute teaching, final teaching to his followers. And he starts out with the words that I just read, where he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Now, my family and I live in Londonderry, and Londonderry is known for a particular tree. It's the apple tree. And so we have two apple orchard businesses, there might be more, right in our town. And so I could, for the right price, buy very premium apples throughout the year. In Israel, they weren't known for the apple tree. They were known for the grapevine. And the grapevine is mentioned more than any plant in the entire Bible. And that makes sense because it was a very common plant in that area. And so in the Old Testament, the vineyard was often used to symbolize Israel. So God is the one who is seen as tending the vineyard. But in John chapter 15, 1, we see that Jesus calls himself the true vine. So Israel was the imperfect vineyard, and they were constantly rebelling against God. But Jesus, on the other hand, is the true vine because he perfectly obeys the Father. So God, or Jesus, says that God the Father is the vine dresser. That's just a fancy ESV word for gardener. So God's the gardener. Now, if you're here this morning, you may be wondering, all right, Kyle, what does all this have to do with church? Why are we talking so much about vines and vineyards? Well, I'm glad you asked if you're asking that, because this entire passage hinges on this analogy. Not only is this an analogy that the Jewish people would understand, but this is a powerful image of what Christians are. And the word Christian, the definition, basically means belonging to Christ. So the Christian life is not simply believing facts about Jesus. It's belonging to Jesus, following Jesus, living in Jesus, and producing fruit that comes from Jesus. And that's why the vineyard analogy is so powerful for us, because it portrays what the Christian life is: living in Christ and producing Christ fruit out of our connection to Christ. So verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, I'm I'm very unqualified to speak about the subject of farming, because if you've seen our yard, just about anything in our yard is killed immediately, not even on purpose. I've seen weeds blow into our yard, the little seed, the weed seeds, and they see it's our yard and they scream and they wait to get blown into another yard just because they know they're headed for death in our house. But the basic idea that Jesus is giving here is that vine branches need to bear fruit. And if they do not, then they need to be removed. Why? Because they're taking away the energy from the branches that are bearing fruit. And so Jesus is saying the same is true for his followers, that if you are not bearing fruit, then you will be cut off. And I'll come back, I'll talk more about that idea in a moment. So Jesus goes into more detail, and we're just going to be working our way through this passage in verse 3, where he says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So this is referring to what Jesus did back in John chapter 13, where he washed the disciples' feet, and he was talking to them, and he told Peter that he was clean. But he wasn't referring to his stinky feet being made clean. He was referring to the spiritual life that Jesus had washed them on the inside as well. And so the disciples are clean, not because they have a clean outside body, but because they were spiritually washed through faith in Jesus Christ. But then he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." So here we see really what I'd call the dependent relationship between us as Christians and Jesus Christ. So in nature, we sometimes see where two different sides benefit each other. But there's other relationships where one side benefits far more than the other. For example, the remora fish attaches itself to the shark and then feeds off the scraps. So the remora shark needs the shark, but the shark does not need the remora. And in a much greater way than that, Jesus Christ does not need us, but we need Christ. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And I'll talk more about abiding in a moment. For now, I want to point out what Jesus says in verse 6, where he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So what is he talking about here? Well, let's just think through what he said in the verses so far. In verse 2, he said that the branches that do not bear fruit will be cut off. And why are they not bearing fruit? Well, the answer is pretty clear in verse 6 that we just saw, that they're not bearing fruit because they're not abiding in Christ. And what is someone who is, who would be someone who is not abiding in Christ? Well, that person, if they're not abiding in Christ, then they are a person who is not a believer, not a Christian. Because a Christian, by its very definition, is someone who abides in Jesus Christ. So I don't see in verse 6 and 7 and in all these verses, Jesus referring to Christians losing their salvation. Like they were Christians, they were saved, but they weren't doing enough, and so God just cut them off. So what I see here is that Jesus is referring to followers of Jesus who don't truly follow Jesus. And one example is Judas in the Bible. Judas hung out with Jesus. He listened to Jesus's teachings. He saw Jesus do miracles. He helped Jesus out and he helped keep an eye on the money and take some, but he also helped keep it. But in the end, Judas was not a true follower of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, what about you? You're here in church or maybe listening to the sermon if we've gotten the audio working. And that's very commendable. It's good to be listening to sermons or in church here participating and listening and worshiping together. But many people do that. But there's a big difference between hearing about Jesus and me telling you about Jesus and abiding in Jesus. So you can attend church all your life and not be a Christian. You can be here today listening to these words and not be a Christian. You can know all sorts of stuff about Jesus and not be a Christian because Christians abide in Jesus. And that brings us to the next verse. And this is a very important verse because when it comes to knowing what makes someone who has real faith, what makes them up, it's a surefire way of seeing someone who has real faith is seeing what they are bearing, what's coming out of them. He says in verse 8, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now that word prove means to come into a certain state or possession or possess a certain state of, let me read this again here. Let me just look down. So it literally means to come into a certain state or possess certain characteristics to be, prove to be, or turn out to be. There we go. Got it out. So not only is God glorified when you bear fruit, but the act of bearing fruit proves, meaning possesses certain characteristics to prove to be, it proves that you are his disciple. So this is very important for every follower of Jesus Christ because the fruit that is what shows that we are a follower of Jesus. And notice I said shows, not makes. We're not made followers of Christ by what we do. We're only saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But after we have been saved, our life should be different. But this raises some important questions that we need to address, and I'm going to address two of them. First of all, what is the fruit that he's speaking about? So when he says that you will bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, what fruit is he referring to? Well, to answer that question, it's helpful to remember that the overall picture that Jesus has been giving so far. So he talks about Jesus being the vine. God the Father is the gardener, and we are the branches that come off the vine. And so everything we produce should come out of our connection to Jesus. And as Christians, there are a lot of different types of good fruit that we can produce that we see in Scripture that come out based on our connection with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you three different examples. Galatians chapter 5 is probably the most well-known, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So meaning that if you abide in Christ and as the Holy Spirit works in your life, that these fruits start to come out, that love starts to come out more, that joy starts to come out more, that peace starts to come out more. So these are examples of bearing fruit, but these are certainly not the only examples that are given in Scripture. Another example is Hebrews 12, where the author writes, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So righteous living in terms of action is another fruit that comes out of our connection with Jesus Christ, of us abiding with him and him abiding in us. Colossians 1 is another example where Paul writes, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here, bearing fruit refers to good works and an increasing knowledge of God. So hopefully, from these three verses, you can see that bearing fruit is not just one single thing, but it's a lot of different things that comes out. And so with this in mind, I'm going to define what the fruit that Jesus is referring to in John 15:8 as byproducts, meaning actions or thoughts that come out of a close connection to Jesus Christ. And so this leads to the second question, how do we get these fruit in our life? So after all, Jesus says that these fruit are what show us, that we are his disciple. So these fruit are what glorifies God. So this is super important. And so let me read the next couple of verses. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And then let me read verses 4 and 5 again for context now. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So how do we bear fruit? Well, the clearest answer that Jesus gives is that you abide in Jesus. And that makes sense, because if the fruit is coming out of a connection with Jesus, then it would make sense that the fruit, that you will bear more fruit by adding or connecting more with Jesus. So we abide in Jesus by getting his ways in us. And one of the major ways that this happens is through getting his word in us. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But then in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And so the more that you know his commandments, the more that you will know how to obey him, which leads to the second part, let Jesus abide in you. So it's one thing to get near Jesus, and that's a good first step. But only when you're connected to him will you be able to bear fruit. Now, many of you, if you know me, you know that I do not like coffee. It's a disgusting drink, and I try to ban it from the house, but my wife put her foot down on that. She said it's either me or coffee, and so I was basically heading out, but I let her keep the coffee. But I do enjoy a good cup of tea. In fact, I don't even have a coffee maker in my office, in my office down the hall, but I do have an electric kettle here, as you saw the steam coming up from it earlier. And now let's think about this. What do you need to make a good cup of tea? Well, tea leaves are important, and I'm a bit of a tea snob, so most of the time you won't see me using tea from a bag. I mean, come on, what are we? Like, use loose leaf tea. And so I have some nice loose leaf tea, but here's the thing. Having tea leaves, even good ones, like even good quality tea leaves, isn't what makes tea. Now, we have good water here. This is from the filtered, good purified water that we have here at the church. That is not what makes tea. Now, this is also very hot, but hot, good filtered water is not what makes tea. Now, I can put my tea leaves next to my tea water, and tea's not going to appear. Why? Because we need to get the leaves in the water. And I, ahead of time, just to save us a little time, I put some of those loose leaf tea leaves in here. And so I'm going to go ahead and put it in, and then we're going to push it down and let it go do its thing. And this is called steeping. And there's a fancy phrase for that, or a couple fancy words. It's osmosis and diffusion. Don't worry, I looked this up. I'm not some fancy science guy. But I read that when you steep tea leaves in hot water, what it's doing is you're extracting the bioactive compounds and flavor from the leaves. So during the steeping that's going on here, the flavorful chemical compounds that are tightly packed into the dry tea leaves start to begin to spread out into the hot water and surrounding where there's fewer of those compounds. That's the diffusion. And so they will continue to diffuse out into the water until the flavor is evenly distributed. And church, when it comes to abiding in Jesus Christ and letting him abide in you, this is what I'm talking about. That you won't get much when you just put Jesus near you. You need him in you. And Jesus says that we do this by getting his word in us. And when you do, high concentrates of, when you get high concentrates word in you, they'll start to slowly diffuse out into your thoughts, into your actions, and into your heart. Now, does that happen quickly? And as we can see, no, it takes time. But over time, the more that you allow him in you, the more that he will come out into and through you. And that's how you bear fruit. And so let's just get a little bit more practical. What does it look like to let Jesus abide in you? So not just near you or around you, but in you. And first of all, that means that you need to get the words of Christ in you. So not just on Sunday when you're here at church, that's a good start. Not just when you're having a really bad day and need a verse to cheer you up, but you need to consistently get in the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that word dwell means to take up residence. So in other words, you're not letting the word of Christ just stop by for a visit and then continue on. Not just come over for the holidays for a few days and then go back home. But let the word of Christ live there in you. And so notice, I'm not just saying, did you read your Bible today? So is the word of Christ living in you? So is it shaping what you think? Is it changing how you respond? Is it confronting the sin that you keep excusing? Because listen, church, the goal the goal here is not just Bible information as we take in the Bible. The goal is Christ formation. And the second that leads right into it, letting Jesus abide in you means that you obey what he says. That's you're getting it in you, but then you're living it out. Jesus says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So obedience is not how we earn his love. It's simply living out now that we are Christ's followers. So a branch doesn't prove that they're connected to the vine by talking about the vine. It proves that it's connected by bearing fruit of the vine. And so in the same way, we do not prove that we belong to Jesus by merely saying, I belong to Jesus. We prove it by a life that is increasingly being shaped by Jesus, becoming more like Jesus. And so here's the question that I want to ask you. Is there, and I'll ask a couple questions today, but is there any part of your life that you're keeping outside of Jesus? What about your marriage? What about your parenting? Your thought life? Your phone? Your money? Your schedule? Your private habits? Your dating life? Your bitterness? Your fear? Your anger? Because abiding in Jesus means that there is no locked room in the house of your heart where Jesus is not allowed. So you do not say, Jesus, you can have my Sunday, but not my Monday. You can have my church life, but not my entertainment life. You can have my beliefs, but not my obedience. You can have my public life, but not my secret life. No, abiding means Christ, Jesus Christ, has your whole life, has the whole house. So the more that you let him in, the more his fruit will begin to come out. But I want to give one last thought as we head in the direction of wrapping up. We've been talking about abiding in Christ and how good fruit is going to come out. And you can bear bad fruit as well. I came across an article from the New Zealand Herald that I want to tell you about. So I know you all read the New Zealand Herald every Sunday, right? And so Mark and Anna had three daughters, and they were surprised when they found out that baby four was coming. And they were very excited when they heard that baby four was a boy. And so they went on through the pregnancy, super excited. But then something changed when the baby came out. Mark writes, as soon as the baby was born, it was very clear that I was not the father. He was clearly another ethnicity to Anna and I. I was absolutely shocked, not only to discover that the child I was expecting was not mine, but I also discovered that Anna had been unfaithful. But he never saw it coming. He had a strong relationship with her, or so he thought. They described each other as best friends and had similar values and interests and hobbies. But all that changed when the bad fruit came out and revealed what had happened on the inside. When a baby with a different ethnicity was born. Now, how does that happen? Well, don't worry, I'm not going to go into the biology of it, but it came out of bad actions. And so this is a sad example of what can happen to us in the spiritual realm. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7:17, where he says, every healthy tree bears good fruit. And that's what we've been seeing in John 15. But then he says, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. And so the fruit that we bear is determined by what we abide in and what abides in us. In other words, what we let in to our lives. So what you steep into your life will determine what comes out. So if you're noticing throughout the week a lot of negative fruit coming out of your life, whether that be sinful habits or sinful thoughts or just negative things, then I would challenge you to think hard about what you're letting in to your life. Wrong actions or wrong thinking or wrong influences, all of these things can lead to bad fruit. And the scary thing is that as we saw, as Jesus said, that your fruit is what glorifies God or doesn't glorify God, but it's also what proves that you are his disciple. And so bad fruit is a scary indicator in your life of where you're at spiritually. Now, most of you know the phrase, you are what you eat. I used to tell that to my kids when they were younger all the time. I'd say, if all you eat are goldfish and hot dogs, you're going to turn into a big goldfish and hot dog. Eat some vegetables. Come on. But I came across a medical article on the internet that actually explains the science of that saying. It said, in a literal sense, we can all agree that it's true that you are what you eat. Nutrients from the foods we eat provide the foundation of the structure, function, and wholeness of every little cell in your body. From the skin and hair to the muscles, bones, digestive and immune systems. So in other words, what you let into your body is what provides the foundation for your body. And the exact same thing could be said of your spiritual life. That what you let in provides the foundation for your entire spiritual life. So if you're abiding in sin, then guess what kind of fruit is going to be coming out of your life? Well, more sin, sinful fruit. And so as I close, I just want to challenge you to take a hard look at what your life is producing. But in closing, I don't want you to only look at your fruit. We've been talking a lot about it today, and so I'm sort of emphasizing this at the end because if all you do is look at the fruit of your life, then you're either going to become really proud or really depressed. You're going to look at your fruit that's all good and say, look what I've done. I'm doing great. Or you're going to see that bad fruit and you're going to start thinking, oh, I stink. There's no hope for me. But listen, Christianity does not begin with staring at yourself. Christianity begins with looking to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the true vine. He's the one who perfectly obeyed the Father. He's the one who bore the fruit that Israel never bore. He's the one who lived the righteous life that you and I could not live. And then Jesus, he went to the cross for sinners like you and me. He died for people who had produced the bad fruit of sin. And so then he rose from the dead and rose again. And so that dead branches like you and me could be made alive in him. And that is the hope and the beauty of the gospel message. Not that you can tape better fruit onto you and try to make yourself look good. But not that you can just try harder to look more spiritual. The hope of the gospel is that Jesus Christ gives life to dead sinners. And so when you are united to him by life and by faith, his life begins to produce fruit in you. And so if you're here today and you're not abiding in Christ, then I want to encourage you to go to him. And not wait till tomorrow, not wait to someday, or not wait till you get your life straightened up, because you'll never get your life straightened up without him. Turn from your sin. Trust in Christ. Receive his grace and abide in him, because apart from him, you can do nothing. And so the answer is not to detach from Christ in shame if you're looking at your life seeing nothing. The answer is to abide more deeply in his love. To get his word in you, to obey what he says, to depend upon his spirit, to stay close to the vine. Because real faith does not merely know about Jesus. Real faith abides in Jesus. And the more that you abide in him, the more his life and his love and his holiness and his joy and his fruit will come out of you. 5 minutes ago was looking like water. Now it's looking like pretty good tea. I like it a little bit darker, so we're gonna let it steep some more. Listen, some of you right now might be looking in your life and you're saying, I'm not looking too good right now. Abide in Jesus. And 5 years from now, you may be sitting in the church or wherever you're at and say, man, God, 5 years ago, I was not looking good, but Thanks be to Christ. He's changed me. He's washed me clean. And I've grown so much in 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. So there's hope for you today. So give your life to Christ and turn to Him. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Worship team, you can make your way up.